Thank you, praise team. Thank you. Last week, as we finished the book of 1 John, we listened in as John gave his last words of encouragement to the believers who may have been teetering on the idea of leaving the early church due to hardships and constant persecutions. John chose to end the letter on the topic of effective prayer. He told his readers to be confident in their prayers whenever they prayed, to pray to those for those who have sinned, but don't condemn their sin, but to pray for them in their sin. We learned that believers could send themselves to a state of death after being warned by God through the Holy Spirit. John told his readers to pray in the will of God, and that God would hear and answer our prayers. We also learned that when our prayers are in the will of God, that we will know that we are in the will of God, that the whole world is under the power of Satan, and that we know beyond any doubt that Jesus is the true Son of God. Tonight, we're going to see a new letter by the same author. So turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 John. Who said that? Who? You did? Now look, yes, sir. I'm not on? Okay. Am I on now? I've got a green light. I'm good now. Do I need to repeat all that again? I don't? Okay. Now, y'all, when I came in, Miss Barbara, some of y'all look at her and, she's just an old person. She's tricky, y'all. I was walking down the middle of the aisle here, and she looked at me and she said, "Brother Kyle, what book did you say you were in?" I said, "I didn't say, Miss Barbara." She was trying to trick me into getting some inside information, and I don't give that stuff out real quick. So turn in your Bibles with me to the book of 2 John. Very small book, and we're going to start it, and we're going to finish it tonight. Golly, Dan. I mean, I could have stretched that out, but I mean, it's... Okay. 2 John, chapter 1, verse 1. The elder... What is an elder, y'all? Huh? Pastor, priest, preacher, an elder. Okay? The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who have come to know the truth, because of the truth that remains in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, and whom in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, in keeping with a command we have received from the Father. So now I urge you, lady, not as if I were writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commands. This is command as you have heard it from the beginning. You must walk in love. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. They do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you don't lose what we have worked for, but you may receive the full reward. Anyone who does not remain in the teaching about Christ, but goes beyond it, does not have God. Listen to that again. Anyone who does not remain in the teaching about Christ, but goes beyond it, does not have God. Did that trigger y'all in any way? Did y'all think of anybody when I read that? Listen to this again. Anyone who does not remain in the teaching about Christ, but goes beyond it, does not have God. the one who remains in the teaching? This one has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, listen to what the Word of God says. Do not receive him into your home, and don't say welcome to him. For the one who says welcome to him shares in his evil works. Though I have many things to write to you, I don't want to do so with paper and ink. Instead, I hope to be with you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister send you greetings. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again tonight asking forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to assemble into your house, allowing us to feel your presence, allowing us to study your word. So God, I pray that you would open our eyes right now. Help us to see what the word truly says. Help us to see ourselves as in the reflection of Scripture. And help us to be greater students when we walk through this door to serve you in our mission fields. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Excuse me one more time. I messed with some wet hay today and it's about to kill me. So what do we see in our Scripture tonight? Did y'all see something at the very beginning that was kind of, I mean, it was just, I don't want to say odd, but it was just, okay, I need to see this. I need to study this. There's just right there at the beginning. I hope you did. At the very beginning of this book, in the first four verses, we have a question that needs to be answered, if at all possible. Y'all know what that question is? Hey, that's right, Ms. Desi. Who is this woman? Who is this lady? This elect lady who John is writing to. It seems that John had some sort of encounter with a lady and her children at first glance that made a lasting impression on him spiritually, one he never forgot. For John to be writing a letter such as this to a woman, y'all see this. Now, those of y'all who studied with me when we did Journey Through the Bible and through the life of Christ, you don't know. This is a no-no. You don't do this. You don't talk to anybody who's not your wife. She must have made a tremendous spiritual impression on John. Jewish men, even converted Jewish men, did not have close relationship of any sort with women they were not related to. So who in the world could this be? Now understand, this is a quick little letter. This is a quick little letter. It's a letter of encouragement, of warning, of love. It's like something that maybe a wife would write to a husband getting ready to go on a business trip, and she'd slide that note right in the suitcase. Do y'all still do that? Yeah. It never fails. Anytime I go somewhere without Amy, I'll open my shaving kit, and there will be a message. Don't eat too much, fat boy. I mean, something like that. No, she writes me a little love. But we do that. This is just a short little letter to get a point across, give a little love and encouragement, and sign off. Just sign off. Warren Wiersbe says this about the brief letter written to a godly mother and her children. Some Bible scholars have concluded, now we're going to find out maybe who she is. Some Bible scholars have concluded that the elect lady refers to a local church and that the children are believers of the fellowshipping, who are fellowshipping in the church. The elect sister would then refer to a sister church that was sending Christian greetings. While it is true that John addresses a group in this letter, it is also true that he addresses an individual. Perhaps the solution is that a Christian assembly was meeting in this home, along with the family of the elect lady, so that John had both the family and the congregation in mind when writing this letter to them. Now, does that make sense? It makes a little more sense because, hey, listen, Jewish men, you didn't even look like you were trying to talk to some other lady. You know, that was a big no-no. Hands off. I mean, that's kick you out of the church, big deal. It's not so much nowadays. Probably should be, though, shouldn't it? Probably should be. But it makes sense that this could be who John was writing to. To be quite honest, we can't really know for sure this side of heaven exactly who this woman and her children really were. But we do know this, that John had a message to deliver to them, all of them. And for him to have such a message, that there was a love relationship that only Jesus could have bonded these people together. Jesus connects unusual people groups with a common bond, and that common bond is what? Love. Y'all look around this congregation on a Sunday morning sometimes. I mean, we're a lot of different people, but we have one thing in common. We have a bond of love. I mean, that's something I love. Come visit us. We love our church, and so would you, right? We love each other. I've served in four different churches, and the love that this church has and displays to this community is unlike any church I've ever served. We could do better. Amen? We can always do better. But the common theme here is love. There was a love relationship here. Warren Wiersbe says this about the content of the letter, of this short letter. The dominant feelings in this little epistle are those of friendship and joy, even though they are mixed with concern and warning. If you and I have to keep our homes true to Christ, then we must have the same characteristics as this family in which John wrote. So there you go. That's why this book is here, right? We can glean from this. We can learn from this and be better Christians, just like any other book in the Bible. Well, Brother Kyle, it's just so short. I mean, you can read that through this thing in 2 minutes. When your friends call, you say, "What are you doing?" Well, I just read a whole book of the Bible, right? Thank you. Well, what book did you read? Well, that's none of your business. I just read a whole book. I've spent all day in it. Now, what do we see in John's writing tonight? Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says this: "I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth and keeping with the command we have received from the Father." I mean, that seems kind of an open hand than a backhand, doesn't it, Griffin? I was so glad to see that some of them. Not all of them. It should be all of them, isn't it? I mean, we're a part of the assembly of God, right? It should have sounded like this. "Man, I was so glad to find all of your congregation, all of your children walking in truth and keeping with the command you have received from the Father." But that's not what we read. Just some. It seems that John had visited this family of believers, And he is commending the leadership of what he had seen, and some were walking in truth. As I read this verse, I can tell you that I totally relate with the words that John is writing. It thrills my heart to hear of those God allowed me to minister to in times past that are still on the path that Jesus placed them upon. And it also breaks my heart to hear those that I have been allowed to minister to that have fallen away from God. Some, like they never knew Jesus at all. I mean, it just breaks my heart. And I see Bill sitting there he's shaking his head. Bill, I can't tell you how many times I've gone in the youth wing, especially over these past 8 months, as I've walked the halls by myself, and I found myself in the youth wing. And as I'm looking in the youth wing, Becky's wondering, "Where in the world is the pastor now? What's he doing?" He's just gone. And I look up at the pictures on the wall. Look up Lodge, 1953. I'm not sure how far it goes back, but I think there's like 2, 4, 6, 7 now. We didn't get to go this year. 6 or 7. And I don't, most of the time when you walk into a room or you walk down the hall of remembrance, the wall of pastors, I'm up there. You just kind of, yeah. I mean, but sometimes you stop and you look. And I looked at those faces since I've been here. Every single one of them. And it thrills my heart to see the ones who remain. The ones who've come back. The ones who are just still living the life. They're still in the Word. And it tears me up to look at the majority of them. They're gone. We don't know where they are. I don't have a clue. The church is used a lot of times. Sometimes it's, we allow it. Sometimes probably we shouldn't. But in the last 2 or 3 years, one of the youth, and if y'all know who this is, please don't say their name. I hadn't seen them in, golly, probably 6, 8, 10, maybe months, maybe a year. But he had to do something for a court reason, got a speeding ticket. And this was 3 years ago. Had to do some work for the judge. Sure, come on up here. They cleaned and painted and swept and did all kind of stuff. And man, preacher, I appreciate you. It's good. I'm so glad you allowed me to do this. Well, I'm glad you're out of trouble. Don't be stupid. Don't do it again. Don't be speeding. It's been 3 years. Hadn't seen him since. That just absolutely breaks my heart. I can relate and I can understand why John's writing this. When he says this, he says, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth in keeping with the command that you have received from the Father. Church, I just don't understand. I didn't get an extra dose from Jesus when he saved me. I always have to say this, and I hope y'all don't get tired of saying it, but I just want you, I'm not perfect. I'm really not. I'm not perfect. Y'all believe me, right? I didn't get an extra dose from Jesus when I got saved. I really didn't. He didn't say, oh boy, there's something special about him. I mean, I'm still amazed that he saved me, Stan. But I don't understand. I don't understand how a person can say I'm a child of God and not want to work for God. I don't understand how a person can say they're a child of God and never want to come to the house of God. I don't understand how a person can say I belong to Jesus Christ and never want to fellowship with other believers in Jesus Christ. I don't understand that. As a matter of fact, it's not scriptural. It's not. You've heard the old saying, the longer you stay away from the church, the longer it's going to be, the harder it's going to be for you to come back. The longer you stay away from church, it's going to make me wonder how if you're really truly saved because it's not scriptural. Well, the church is not the building. I mean, that's what we hear as preachers. The church is not the building. You're exactly right. The church is the body of believers inside the building, and you should desire to have that fellowship with other believers. If you don't, the Word of God ought to make you question whether you're truly saved. John goes on to tell this group of what he would like to see them continue to do. Now, I can think of a lot of things those who have taught me and mentored me would say that I needed to continue to do. They'd say, Brother Kyle, you need to study more. I'll agree. I mean, I can't study enough. Amen? We can't study enough. They'd say, you need to pray more, boy. I can hear Calvin Morrow say that. Tell me about old O.B. Ayers, used to be a member of Calvary Baptist Church. You walk in his bedroom and there's knee prints in the floor, not in the carpet, in the floor where old O.B. used to pray for hours and hours. He said, you don't pray enough, boy. He said, you need to visit more. Now, this comes from a man that when he'd do visit people in the hospital, Sharon? 8 a.m. Can you imagine you just had a surgery? You didn't sleep good through the night because they were coming in and out, right? Finally get to sleep when they do the nursing change around 7 o'clock. Finally get some sleep. Here comes old Calvin Mara, 8 o'clock. I mean, he's got the bells on. He's already had breakfast. I mean, he's 4 hours deep into the day already, knocking on people's doors at the hospital at 8 a.m. He'd say, you need to visit more. Need to visit more in the hospitals. Well, Pastor, they won't let me in the hospitals right now. Well, you need to sneak in the back door, son. None of that is what John tells his writers to do. John tells them to love. To love. Look at verse 5. He says, so I urge you. I urge you, lady. Y'all, when I read through this like the second time, I was thinking Andy Griffith. Did any of y'all, I mean, hey, lady? Lady, y'all, okay, well, I'm sorry. So now I urge you, lady, not as I were writing you a new command, but one that we have had from the beginning, the very beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to His commands. This is the command as you have heard it from the beginning. You must walk in love. And you won't listen. You only have to love your family and your neighbors and your relatives. That's only people you have to love. Right? No. When you're walking in love, you're walking. You're not standing. You're walking in love. And as you're walking, every person that God puts in front of you, you are to love. You're to love them the same way, if possible, that you love your children. You're walking and you're loving every person. You mean those mean, nasty, hateful people? Yeah. Listen, they need love more than your children do. Your children know you love them, right? But every person you encounter as you are walking, you are to love. Brother Kyle, I don't like that. Be mad at the Bible. Brother Kyle, you ever been mad at the Bible? Yes. I've been reading sometimes and I'm just like, God, I don't like the way that scripture makes me feel. You just tore me up. And the Holy Spirit whispers to me, Stan, you needed to be torn up. Why is it that John so emphasizes our need to show constant love to one another? The answer is seen in verse 7. I'm glad y'all asked. Look at verse 7. Why do we need, Dan, why do I have to love everybody? I mean, I'm not Cupid. Why do I have to love everybody? Look at verse 7. This is why. Because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They do not confess the coming of Jesus in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. There's a bunch of deceivers out there. A bunch of deceivers. There are a bunch of deceivers who call themselves Christians. There are a bunch of deceivers who are, you know, they're just wolves in sheep's clothing. There are a bunch of deceivers out there. Now, we need to love in such a way that when deceivers come, it will be very easy to identify them because they do not exhibit this love for others, and they sure do not have the love for Jesus. So as we're walking, as we're loving people, if you're with a brother or a sister who has discontent for the person that God has put in front of you, what does that say about your brother or your sister? Don't look at me funny. The Word of God says it. We need to know how to interpret who a deceiver is. Now we're going to learn what to do with deceivers here in a second. John then gives a word of warning to believers in verse 8. Look at verse 8. He says, believers, watch yourselves so that you don't lose what we have worked for, but you may receive the full reward. But Kyle, is he talking about losing salvation? I don't want to lose my salvation. He's not talking about losing your salvation. He's talking about losing your reward. Well, what is your reward? What you work for. what you work for here on this earth. Well, are we supposed to be working? No, you're not supposed to be working for a reward, but you are working knowing that you're going to be rewarded one day. Well, what's the difference, Brother Kyle? You're working for the Lord, and you know there's a reward coming, but that's not your motivation. Your motivation is love. Your motivation is love. Church, what does John say? What is he saying in verse 8? Number one, he says, watch yourselves. Watch yourselves. I gave an illustration. I told y'all about that meme last week, and as soon as I got home, and I was just flipping through, you know, before I was going to bed, looking at social media, and I saw it again. It was right there. There was this man out there. I mean, ambulances, house on fire, car turned upside down. And this dude's up there. He's mowing the grass. All this is going on. It says, what's he doing? He's minding his own business. Y'all, if y'all see that, click on the main thing and read the comments underneath it. It is hilarious. Somebody wrote, yeah, he probably had that lawnmower in the back of the car that was turned upside down. He's trying to evade the police. He's out there cutting the neighbor's yard. I mean, it's hilarious. But we can learn. Listen, what we see in this is we need to watch ourselves. I love you, and it's my responsibility to preach to you and to teach to you. I can lead you to water, Brandon, but I can't make you drink it, buddy. You know who I need to watch? Me. I need to watch me. Miss Barbara, you need to watch you. I think we would do well as Christians, as believers, to look at each other from time to time, Dan, when somebody starts running their mouth, say, buddy, you need to look in the mirror. You know, the book, you can sound scriptural, Angie. You can do this. You know, the book of 2 John says you need to watch after yourself. Gary, that might be coming in the morning. But hey, then again, you can use it, brother. When Angie tells you, he said, listen, Brother Kyle preached the other night, 2 John, you need to watch after yourself. Don't be looking at me. He says, watch yourselves. Beware, be on guard, be vigilant, knowing those who want to deceive you are always present. They're always present. Listen, I'm 50 years old. Well, I don't know how long I'm going to live, Dan, but for my whole life, there's going to be deceivers present surrounding me, every single one of us. Church, you do know that the lost world does not want you to love others, right? They don't. You do know that the lost world are waiting for you to fail so that they can say, see, that's what Jesus is really all about. We need to watch ourselves. Number two, we need to watch ourselves so that we don't lose what we've worked for. Well, what's he talking about here, Brother Kyle? Our testimony. You think about that. How long have you been saved? How long have you been saved? Colin, how long have you been saved? How long have you been working on your testimony? People are watching. How long have you been working on your testimony? Do you realize how quickly we can lose our testimony that we've worked so long and so hard to build? I'm afraid my wife has to remind your pastor of this too often. Not that I'm doing anything crazy, but she has a keener eye, I guess, than I do. You know, we'll be riding down the road and some they'll say something on the radio and I'll just pop off and she'll say, not cussing, Stan, calm down. I'll say something and she'll say, I agree with what you're saying, but you can't say that. So what are you talking about, woman? She's probably listening. She was listening last week and I got in trouble, y'all. I said, what are you talking? She says, You can't say that and feel that way. You can't do that. It makes me mad, Bill. But after I drive about a mile down the road, you know what I have to realize? Desi, you don't have to smile when you say that. She who said that? Y'all just full of yourselves tonight. I thought you'd be in here sleeping, Gary. You need to come down here and sit with these women down here, brother. We need to watch ourselves, church, thirdly. We also so that we may receive the full reward. Now, church, I don't know the full extent of what our reward will be, but I do know I don't want to lose it because I'm not paying attention. Amen? Now, John then gives these believers another warning seen in verse 10 and 11. Let's read 10 and 11 again. It says, if, I love ifs in the Bible. I've got it highlighted. If, and this isn't an if, this is a when if you live in Savannah. If anyone comes to you and does not bring the teachings, do not receive him into your home. Don't receive him into your home. And don't say welcome to him. For the one who says welcome to him shares in his evil works. Now, who were y'all thinking about when I read those scriptures the first time? Who else? Anybody else? Jehovah's Witness? Anybody else? Mormons. They come and knock on your door. They come and knock on my door. And they want to give you, here, we have some material for you we want to give you. The scripture does not say you slam the door in their face. It does not. It does not. As a matter of fact, you as a Christian, you ought to be prepared when they do. You need to be prepared because they're coming. They're coming. And it ought to break your heart when they come. Because this group of people, they are die hard. They have bought into a cult. But they're doing more for their cult than most people do for their church and for the glory of God. They're out knocking on doors trying to witness to people with their false doctrines and theologies when you know the truth and you won't walk across the street to talk to your neighbor. You don't even know what your neighbor's name is. That's sad, isn't it? But it tells us, it warns us, the Word of God warns us what to do when these cult-like people come. We're not to let them in. I've got preacher friends of mine, Gary Page, that say, oh, yeah. Jehovah's Witness came to my house. There were two men and a woman. And I know how they work. This is how they work. They always bring the person that they're just bringing into the fold along with a person who is very mature and a person who is leading it. So the person who's leading it, the new convert is watching to learn, and the supervisor who's there with them is there just in case the person who's talking runs into some little, you know, hard questions and can't answer them. So they're ready to go. Pastor friend, I let them come in the house because I'm a preacher and I opened up my Bible. I said, I'll listen to you if you listen to me. That's not what the scripture says do. It doesn't. Now, I think you ought to be ready to say something because they're coming. They're coming. They park in Courtney's driveway. I don't know if Courtney's given them permission to or not. They parked in Courtney's driveway. Hey, they had the nerve to park in the church parking lot out front one day to scan, to go through this neighborhood. I recognized them when they got out of the car. I went over to my computer. So-and-so as a cult. And it gave me 7 pages that I printed out. Y'all know what I did? I went and stuck it on a windshield. You need to be ready because they're coming. They're coming. What do you do when, Brother Kyle, what do you do when they come to your house and knock on the door and they try to hand you that magazine? The first thing I do is tell them this, I don't believe in progressive revelation. What do you mean progressive revelation? Progressive revelation means, and you can identify, be careful. The person who's talking is the middleman. The one who's kind of doing like this right here after you just say, I don't believe in progressive revelation, their wheels are turning because they're new and they're like, what have I gotten myself into? The one who does this right here, they're the leader. That's who you address. You hear me? This is good stuff tonight. Y'all better be writing this stuff down. You don't look at the person who's talking, Gary Page. You look at the person who's gotten mad. And you look at him and say, I don't believe in progressive revelation. Well, why don't you? What do you mean? What is progressive revelation? Progressive revelation says or states that my new leader has given new insight that is equal to and supersedes the Word of God. Buddy, nothing supersedes the Word of God. That's what you tell them. And say it in love. You belong to a cult. I don't believe this doctrine and this theology. I believe in Jesus and Jesus alone. Nobody stands before Him or beside Him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hey, have a good day. No, I don't want your magazine. Don't put it in my mailbox either. Church, this is really the completion of John's letter to these people. Now, stop for a second. Why was this short letter important? Why was this letter so important that it was included in our New Testament scripture? Do y'all read some of the stuff that's written in the New Testament? Ask yourself that from time to time. Why was this important? Why was it included? There's always a reason. Was this short book just a filler book to make the New Testament a little bit longer? No. What those believers were experiencing are the same things we as believers today experience. We need to watch ourselves, church. We need to watch ourselves. Listen, and know how to act and react to those who would come and deceive us into believing false doctrines and theologies and look so similar to the Christian walk, but they're not. When we do this, we will stay on the path that God intended for us to stay on. I've said this several times in this church. I don't know that it's true today, but back in the 90s, do you know who the most converted group of people were to the Jehovah's Witnesses? You know who they were? Southern Baptists. And that should tell you how thin our scriptural knowledge is. It ought to scare you. That's why when I come, God brings me to a new church, ever since I was a youth pastor, Bill, the first thing I did was open up Journey Through the Bible. We're going to learn this. We're going to get you rooted. You're going to know some stuff. Church, John finishes out the letter with verses 13 and 14. He says this. Excuse me, verses 12 through 13. Though I have many things to write to you, I don't want to do so with paper and ink. Instead, I hope to be with you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister send you greeting. Church, are you watching yourself? Are you watching yourself? Are you loving others the way that you were called to love? Are you aware of those who want to deceive you? We need to be prepared because we are always surrounded by those who would love to see us fail. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you for this short letter. And God, I think this is the first time you've allowed me to preach through this letter. And I thank you for the insight that it's given me. Lord, I pray that you would use this book to help every person who's listened to this message, myself included, that we may be watching ourselves a little closer. We might be loving the way you told us to love. And we might encounter those who want to deceive us in a scriptural manner. Lord, thank you for your love and for this day. Help us, Lord, to be the light that you've created us to be. Be with us now during this invitation. Lord, if there's somebody here who just needs to spend some time with you, I pray as the music plays, they'll just walk down and spend some time with you down here at this altar. In Jesus' name, I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come down and just spend some time with the Lord? The altar's open for you.